Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by Judge Napolitano. We're going to also be joined by Colonel John Mills due to the breaking news with Russia and Ukraine. And the Biden regime seems intent on pushing us toward really a World War III with Russia. In many regards, we already are in World War III. My documentary Siege came out in December of 2019. In that documentary, Peter Pry, former CIA analyst Peter Pry, sat at this desk and declared we really already were in World War III, and that was in 2019. He said such because he said China and Russia were hacking on our power grid, and that is an act of war, or at least should be considered such. Well, whether you believe we're in an act of war or not, it depends on who you talk to. Clearly, the Biden regime is intent on making it a full war, where it would be evident and indisputable to everyone, sending more ammunition, munitions, and now tanks to Ukraine to fight a proxy war with Russia, while reports show that we're depleting our supplies such that we could not now fight a war with China should they make a move against Taiwan, which, of course, as we know, makes a lot of chips, which in itself, these computer chips are, well, vital to us, not only when it comes to luxuries, but more importantly, to vital infrastructures and life-saving machinery and our national defense. So we'll talk with Colonel John Mills. Then we'll be joined by a gentleman that has been warning about the threat to our power grid. I've interviewed him before. His name is Michael, and he'll be joining us again tonight, along with a couple of video clips I want to bring you. But first up is Judge Napolitano. Judge, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you, my dear friend.
You too. And I was watching a video you did today or sometime in the last day or so. Now I was going to play some of it. Now I'm having a hard time finding it. It was an interview you did. And one of my friends, by the way, is a former, if it's hot, set it down. I'll slide it. My wife's bringing me hot tea. So, one of my friends who's a former Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL, was the one that sent it to me and said, "You've got to watch this." I said, "Well, he's actually coming on my show tonight. You interviewed a retired military officer. I think he was a full colonel when he retired. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you guys were having a fascinating interview about how dangerous things are getting with the Biden regime sending all this weaponry to Ukraine and provoking this war with Russia. Can you tell us about that?"
Listen, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I'm a legal scholar. I'm a lawyer. I'm a former judge. And I was Fox's chief commentator on all things legal for 24 years. But I have become fascinated and educated on what's happening in Ukraine through two interviews that I did. Well, interviewing two people. I interview each of them once a week. The interview that your Navy SEAL friend is talking about is with Colonel Doug McGregor. Colonel McGregor was one of the chief policy advisors in the Trump Department of Defense. He's a West Point graduate, career military, and tank commander. The other person that I interview is Scott Ritter. Scott, of course, was a Marine Corps veteran. The Marines say they're still in the Marines, retired as a major. And was involved in weapons inspection in Iraq. Scott was one of the team that told George W. Bush Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction, and Bush didn't want to hear it. The two of them have presented a picture of what's going on in Ukraine that roughly is as follows. The areas of Ukraine that Russia seeks have been going back and forth between Russia and Ukraine for 300 years. And they are predominantly Russian. They are predominantly populated by Russian-speaking people. There is a legitimate legal, historical, and geographical claim that Russia has on this property. Indeed, this property was the subject of national elections in Russia that were won by a leader close to Vladimir Putin until the American CIA overthrew him and engineered sham elections, the second of which was won by Vladimir Zelensky. That's point number one. Point number two, the Russian military far outnumbers in experience, skill, and manpower the Ukraine military. and it's nearly impossible for the Russian military to lose. President Putin would lose his work and probably his life if he didn't succeed in this war. Number three, there's absolutely no national security interest of the United States of America bearing upon the outcome of this war. It doesn't involve American lives. It doesn't involve American property until we started sending military hardware there. And it's 5,000 and 6,000 miles away from us. It doesn't involve our national security at all. What does it involve? It involves the wish of the globalists in Western Europe and in the State Department and currently in the Defense Department to remove Putin from office so that Russia can become more pliant and more friendly to the United States. We have no business. Look, Putin is a very tough guy. You could call him a monster. You could call him a butcher. But we have no business going around the world looking for monsters or tough guys or butchers to slay, because if we do, there will be no end to our search. And if we do, we won't be spreading freedom and democracy. We'll be spreading violence and destruction.
Wow.
Your introductory statements are absolutely consistent with what Colonel McGregor and Major Ritter have been saying to me. We are depleting our substantial supplies, not our surplus, not our excess, our substantial supplies, sending military equipment to Ukraine. None of it will come back. It will all be destroyed. In Europe, there are currently 100,000 American troops. They're not playing touch football. They are ready to move on 24 hours notice. 40,000 of them are within 10 miles of the Ukraine-Polish border, training with 90,000 Polish troops. The president of Poland is trigger happy, and he can't wait to send those troops in. He doesn't want to send them in without Americans. There is, in my view, zero support amongst the American public to put American troops on the ground in Ukraine. But when all else fails, when your own Justice Department is investigating you, when it's nearly impossible for you politically to justify your terrible stewardship of the executive branch of the federal government, what do? You take the country to war.
Absolutely. And of course, the question is, how do they get the American people to have a stomach for this? I want to address that. But first, I'd like to play a clip from a Judge Napolitano's show, Judging Freedom. You'll find it on YouTube. You'll find it on judgenap.com. You'll find the full channel with all of his videos on YouTube. Let me play a quick clip, if I can. This was just posted yesterday, and it's getting quite a bit of attention. As I said, a friend of mine, retired Special Forces Navy SEAL, sent it to me today. I watched a lot of it. Very intriguing. Watch this.
Does he come in with the slam bang invasion of 300,000 to 500,000 soldiers and finish everything off, or does he let the Ukrainians just sort of die on the vine?
I think he knows that he can't do the latter, because we will constantly try to resuscitate the corpse, no matter how bad it gets. We will rush in there, put it back on life support, try to get it back on its feet and fight. I think he knows that the only way to rid Ukraine of this Ukrainian armed force is to go in and destroy it, and ultimately to replace this regime with something else, or wait for something else to emerge. I don't think he feels anymore, or for that matter, any of the Russians, they can trust anything we say. They know they can no longer trust the Europeans. They used to trust the Germans, and they actually, I think, believed Macron at one point in time. Now they know they can't trust anybody. I don't see great enthusiasm for a long and destructive war in Ukraine. Why would they be enthusiastic about that? Why do they want to kill other Slavic Orthodox Christians? I don't think they do. But the point is, they don't have much choice. And I think they will press ahead. The question is when. And I told you, I thought that the major offensives would begin sometime between the 21st of January and the 7th of February. We'll see if I'm right. There are others that say, oh, no, they're going to wait until March. But I think it's coming sooner rather than later because of the things that you're pointing out. You know, why should they sit around and wait for resuscitation again? Why not just go in and put this thing out of its misery? But it's not going to be a lightning blitzkrieg. That's all nonsense. Warfare has changed. They have over Ukraine this large umbrella of intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance assets, and then they have this wide range of strike assets, everything from rocket artillery to jets to tactical ballistic missiles to long-range artillery. All of this is linked, and they're going to move their ground forces under this umbrella. They're not going to be surprised. Anything out there that looks like it could threaten their forces will be identified and struck quickly and put out of business as they move. So instead of this lightning blitzkrieg, it'll be a deliberate, methodical advance. It'll take a little longer, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks, but it'll happen.
Does he come in?
He goes on to say that Russia's going to win this thing, aren't they?
Yes, he does. He says that Russia's victory is inevitable. That's Colonel Doug McGregor, West Point, career U.S. Army, senior advisor to Ron Paul in his presidential election campaigns, and senior advisor in the Pentagon for the last 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency. So this is a person who's expressing a view of the likelihood of Russian victory and the futility of American assistance to Ukraine that Joe Biden is probably not hearing. I believe that a lot of intelligence, American intelligence officers, are saying the same thing to their bosses in Langley, talking about the CIA, of course, but their bosses in Langley are not going to tell this to Joe Biden. I don't know if they tell Joe Biden personally or if they tell the Jake Sullivan and the people around him. But the point is, the White House doesn't want to hear this. It is being discussed, but the White House doesn't want to hear it because it's humiliating to them for the investment that we've made in Ukraine thus far, and its likely most unpleasant outcome.
Let's play another clip from this stunning interview by Judge Napolitano with Colonel Doug McGregor. Listen to this in regards to, should the Biden administration be providing Ukraine with tanks? Watch this clip.
Under no circumstances are they going to hold talks with the Russians, because that would suggest that they've made a mistake.
Right. It would suggest that we're pulling the Zelensky strings, which of course we are.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't see us doing that. You know, I was asked the other day by a journalist, what do you think we should do? I said, hold talks immediately without preconditions. We need to come to some sort of resolution no matter what. That, in fact, was essentially what Kissinger said a few months ago, and then, of course, changed his tune. We're not going to do that. That's an admission of failure. No one in Washington ever admits that they failed at anything. Everything's a success no matter how many times you fail. That's the first problem. I think the second problem is there's a lot of arrogance and self-delusion. I don't think the people on the Hill really understand what war means anymore. For many, many years, we had lots of interesting people on the Hill. Sam Nunn was a good example, but there were many others. Most of them had served in the military. A lot of them lived through the Second World War. They understood what you meant when you started talking about war. So when it came to Russia, or in those days, the Soviet Union, people made it very clear, that's not what we want. Whatever we do, we must find a way around that, because we all know what that means. And they weren't necessarily saying it would be nuclear, but it would be so destructive and self-defeating, we don't want to engage in it. I don't sense that anymore.
Wow, isn't that a scary thought, that we don't have enough people that have a military background, military experience, have seen the horrors of war, and thus want to avoid the horrors of war? And in this day and age, where we have terror cells, I mean, we just, right on the border, just this week has come out how many people on the terrorist list have been captured, and that's the ones that they caught, not the ones that got away. We know, right. Iran has told us again and again that they are here and they are near. We know they have terror cells here from a federal trial. So who do we think is shooting out these, in 2013, the power substations in Northern California? Well, the head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, he brings in the Navy SEALs from not too far away and says, what do you guys think? And they look at it with the prepositioned rock piles, and so they could find their spot at night, shooting exactly where they need to make liquid flow and bring down the coolant system of this substation. The way they were able to get in and get out in something like around 19 minutes, not be seen on video. They knew how to cut the 911 cables. And the Navy SEAL said, this looks like a military operation. Well, isn't that interesting? Dr. Peter Pry, the former CIA analyst who used to sit at this desk and we produced his TV show, said, if I had to guess, I'd say it was probably Iran warning America and Silicon Valley, not too far away from that power substation. We know you put a virus on thumb drives, Stuxnet, and sent them into the Middle East and hope they would make it into our nuclear program and spin up our system and break our centrifuges. And yes, that happened. You ought to know we're here. Knock it off. If that's who did it, I don't know. But I know I'm told by many sources, including some of the people who were involved, like the former head of FERC, they look like it was a special forces operation. The point being, are these people not aware, Judge, that when you go to war, all of these terror cells would be awakened on the American people? And have we forgotten that Russia is in alliance with China and that a few months after they practiced the largest military exercise in world history, Vostok 18, Russia and China, they added in Iran with one of their exercises?
I don't know if you have this clip. We ran three clips yesterday of Admiral Kirby. Admiral Kirby, John Kirby, who's the spokesperson for the Department of Defense, was actually in the White House and was answering questions from the press corps right after President Biden announced that we're sending the M1 Abram tanks over there. By the way, Colonel McGregor, tank commander for 35 years in the military, says it will be months before the Abrams tanks get there, and months from now the war will be over and Zelensky will be gone and half of Ukraine will happily be part of Russia. But anyway, Admiral Kirby boasted about Joe Biden's preparedness and willingness to put American troops on the ground. He's the one who said we have 100,000 troops on the ground in Europe ready to go and 40,000 right over the border between Poland and Ukraine training with 90,000 Polish troops. A, we shouldn't be boasting about that. B, we should not be preparing for war because it will be catastrophic. C, we shouldn't be telling anybody where our troops are and what they're doing.
Absolutely not. Let me see if I can play a little clip here from John Kirby at the White House. Here we go. Let's play this, guys.
Supply to Ukraine. President Zelensky recently fired senior leaders in Ukraine over corruption concerns.
Yeah.
Is the U.S. confident that direct budgetary assistance has been used properly in Ukraine?
As you know, that budgetary assistance is directed through the World Bank. And we're confident in that process. We obviously share President Zelensky's concerns over these corruption allegations, and it's apparent that he takes it seriously. That's important. We'll obviously let him work his way through that. But in terms of the budgetary assistance, like I said, goes through the World Bank. We're comfortable with that process.
We have not seen any signs
that our budgetary assistance have fallen prey to any kind of corruption in Ukraine, and I would go so far as to say the same on the security assistance side.
Let me just stop it there. So we're relying on the corrupt United Nations and the World Bank to be involved in, you know, with these group of characters. Wow, that makes me sleep better tonight.
You're exactly right. Now, when this 60, it's now up to $80 billion, it's going to reach 100 soon, $100 billion was authorized in chunks, 40, 40, 20. In the House of Representatives, Congressman Thomas Massey, and in the Senate, Senator Rand Paul offered the same simple, identical amendment. That American inspectors be present in Ukraine to confirm the receipt and distribution of the military equipment and the receipt and distribution of cash. What became to those amendments? They weren't allowed to vote on them. Mrs. Pelosi wouldn't let that come to a vote on the floor of the House, and Senator Schumer wouldn't let it come to a vote on the floor of the Senate. Not even a vote, not even a debate as to whether or not we should have American inspectors there. We're dealing with one of the most corrupt countries in the Western world. Its corruption is well known, easily verified, and generally accepted. And the Congress of the United States is sending $100 billion, part cash, part military equipment, and it refuses to confirm and verify who the recipients of that cash and that military equipment are.
Wow. All right, let's transition. Very good. Very good on foreign policy there, Judge.
We didn't have much foreign policy in my courtroom.
But you did very, very well. Let's transition to your wheelhouse, the law. Let's talk about the documents Joe Biden being found. I mean, what is going on here? High-paid Washington, D.C. lawyers rummaging around in garages? I mean, is this a setup or is this a cover-up?
I don't know the answer to that. There are some Democrats who are whispering that it's a setup because they do not want Joe Biden They don't want him to be reelected. They don't want him to be the nominee. They don't even want him to seek the nomination, and they hope he just quietly goes away. But if you vacate the building you're in now, your home, your office building, do you send lawyers to gather what's there, or do you send movers? Why would you even send lawyers? It's a bit of a head scratcher. But here's what we don't know. We don't know how many documents, and we don't know the level of security. So there are three levels of security: confidential, secret, top secret. Within top secret, there are four other levels. We don't know if any of the Biden documents reach those levels. We do know about Trump's documents. Trump's lawyers, in my view, made a mistake asking for the special master. The special master was only in play for 3 or 4 weeks before that ruling was reversed by an appellate court. A very decent, wonderful conservative Republican, Ronald Reagan nominee, who sits in the federal court in Brooklyn, was discussing openly in his courtroom the documents taken from Donald Trump's home. 360 documents comprising 20,000 pages. 60 of the documents were in the highest category of top secret, called NDI, National Defense Information. National Defense Information describes what the government knows about the defenses of foreign countries, in this case, Iran, our enemy, Ukraine, our vassal state. It also sets forth the sources and methods of that information. So if a Ukrainian intelligence agent is really a double agent and selling information to the United States, his contact information is in these documents. Obviously, if the documents got out, God have mercy on what they would do to this guy. So we know the level of secrecy in the documents Trump had. We do not know the level of secrecy in the documents Biden had, A, because there is no special master to discuss it, and B, because unlike in Trump's case, the FBI has not leaked and told the Washington Post the level of secrecy of documents that Joe Biden has. But Joe Biden is being investigated criminally by a very, very serious, by-the-book Republican federal prosecutor who was twice appointed by Donald Trump, one to the number four position in the Trump Department of Justice, and one to be the United States attorney in Maryland.
And who appointed him to investigate, Judge?
Merrick Garland.
And why would they pick a guy like that? Why would they pick a guy like that?
It's a head scratcher to me, unless he wanted to deflect all political criticism. I'm going to pick a Republican who was twice nominated by Donald Trump to investigate Joe Biden. Who could complain about that? The only people who would complain would say it shouldn't be a special counsel. It should be done internally by the DOJ. Joe Biden says, I don't remember any of this stuff. And quite frankly, when he says something like that, everybody believes him. He doesn't remember what he had for breakfast. I don't want to be rude, but his memory's not that good. You know, we all have memory issues. His are profound. Yes. And on the national stage, whenever he addresses the press or whenever he deviates from the teleprompter. But what will they do with Joe Biden? They won't prosecute him while he's president. We know that. It's been the policy of the DOJ since the Nixon years not to prosecute an incumbent president. If he's nominated by the Democrats, if he runs, if he wins, if he serves his full term, four ifs, he cannot be prosecuted because the statute of limitations will have run. If he only serves two more years, he could be prosecuted when he leaves. Is the statement, I didn't know about this, a defense? Well, it depends what they charge him with. One of the counts under the Espionage Act requires intent. The other count under the Espionage Act allows you to be convicted for being grossly negligent. I don't remember how it got there. I don't know how it got into my garage. That's gross negligence. So that's all they'd have to show if they charge him under that count. They wouldn't have to show that he intended to take it. Trump's case is different. Trump is honest enough to say, yeah, I took it because I believed it was mine. I think he's wrong under the law, but he's being honest and candid with the press and with the court.
Wow. And so what does this do for Donald Trump? Does this put Donald Trump in the clear or not?
In his case of
documents.
In the court. Where Donald Prefers to live, it doesn't put him in the clear, but it reinforces his statement, which we all thought he was saying in a typical Trumpian exaggeration, but wasn't. Ah, they all do it. Okay, Mike Pence, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. That's quoting Trump on Pence. Joe Biden, I take this stuff seriously. He did it as well. So the court of public opinion will say what Trump did is not as bad as we thought. But a federal district court, I think, will soon be reading aloud an indictment of Donald Trump, and the feds will come down on him like a ton of bricks.
You still believe he'll be indicted?
I do. I it gives me no joy to say this whatsoever. No joy. But I have to be intellectually honest with my viewers and with your viewers and with you.
So how will this impact the case against Joe Biden? Because now people say, well, you know what? What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Correct. And that will depend upon how long he is the president of the United States. There are three academic opinions on whether or not a sitting president can be indicted. Two say no, one says yes. The Department of Justice, since the Nixon years, since Watergate, has followed the two. Well, one of them didn't exist, but it follows the one and then eventually the other one that says a sitting president cannot be indicted. You have to wait until he leaves office.
Could Biden pardon himself?
You know, Trump once threatened to do that. As far as we know, he didn't. There's no restraint on the pardoning power, but it would violate basic principles of American jurisprudence that a person cannot be a judge in his own case.
Mm. All right. Hey, finally, Judge, over at JudgeKnapp.com. JudgeKnapp.com, about 65 minutes ago, you put up a video at JudgeKnapp.com. And this is in my backyard. I'm outside of the Memphis area, Mid-South. Five Memphis cops charged with murder. Last week, we were being told by people, look out, there's a video that's going to be released, body cam footage of five police officers beating a man during a traffic stop, and he died. And of course, everybody in the Mid-South started holding their breath, thinking, oh no. A George Floyd type situation right here in the Mid-South. And we know how Antifa and the different groups will use to agitate the chaos and bring division. Of course, this is the place where MLK was assassinated. The Lorraine Hotel, now the National Civil Rights Museum. There is thought to be a lot of racial disharmony in Memphis. It really is not what it is to be, you know, touted. There is much more racial harmony in the Mid-South than the Mid-South gets credit for, to be quite honest. But we all held our breath because we're thinking, you know, we've made such progress. We don't want to go backwards, and we don't want to see people divided, and we don't want to see our cities, our towns or city burned. And so everybody held their breath, waiting for this body footage to come out because we all assumed there had to probably been white police officers involved. Well, it turns out there weren't. They're all five black police officers. Story has pretty much died other than just getting cursory notice every now and then, but they have been arrested now. Judge?
Well, that's why in that video you were kind enough to mention, which I did from right where I am now, that's why we posted the picture I wanted the public to see without emphasizing race, although I commented on it, that the officers are black. The prosecutor, you know this better than I, because this is a hotly contested race, a male, white, hard left, progressive Democrat runs against a female conservative Republican who had the job for 10 years. The progressive defeats the conservative.
Yep.
I don't know anything about this fellow except his political predilections, but he did the right thing. He had them fired immediately. He looked at the video cam. He looked at the preliminary investigation, and he charged them with the highest crime possible under this circumstance, which is second-degree murder. So put aside his politics. In my view, he did absolutely the right thing, and he did it quickly. Now, the chief of police says that he has seen, and I believe him, the body cam footage. He calls it inhumane and barbaric. It's going to be released at 6 o'clock local time tomorrow, Friday evening.
Yeah, and we'll be carrying it here and watching to see what erupts from it. And, you know, if the protesters are upset, it shouldn't really matter what the color of the cops are because, again,
correct,
someone having the living tar beat out of them, if indeed it was as we're being told. And as bad as it is, I mean, it shouldn't matter. Police brutality is police brutality. And white and black and whatever should all be upset.
I agree with you. And I don't want to say I'm glad these guys were black. I'm just glad that it's the same race. The country doesn't want to go through another George Floyd thing again. I mean, what Derek Chauvin did to George Floyd was just as bad as if Derek Chauvin had been black himself. But the agitators don't see it that way. They look at any opportunity they can find to press their political agenda that the country is inherently and historically and irredeemably racist. This is not going to be a case like that. This is going to be a case of, are they guilty of second degree murder, or are they guilty of something less than second degree murder, or are they not guilty of anything? This is not going to be, did they attack him because he was a different race from them?
Yeah. Judge Knapp, let's show his
website. And by the way, that may keep the feds out of it. You know, the feds like to get involved when there's a racial aspect. When the locals do their job and charge for the max and have a legitimate jury trial and there's no race aspect, the feds may stay out.
Wow. Let's show his website again, judgeknapp.com, judgeknapp.com. To find all of his articles, interviews, and his most recent one, again, with the Colonel, you just go over to YouTube and just type in here, Judge Knapp, Napolitano. What's the show called again? There it is right there. It popped right up. Judging Freedom. And there it is.
Judging Freedom.
There it all is right there. So you can go and find, there he is with all these different clips of the Colonel that we were just playing. So you'll find it on YouTube as well as at judgeknapp.com. As always, Judge, thank you for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, my dear friend. Anytime.
Yeah, we'll have you back. You can count on that. Thank you, sir. Judge Napolitano checking in. Check out his site, judgeknapp.com.